Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Donald Trump won the election recently, and so what does that mean to us? What does it not mean? What does Trump's win mean to the body of Christ, in other words? One major communistic fake news headline read this way the day after the loss of Kami Alla, the communist, Marxist, Satanist Kamala Harris, and the whole entourage of wicked doers, which you have to do in order to be a part of the devil rat party. The headline read this. It says, "World in shock. Leftist," that means communist, "Drudge Report mourns Trump's stunning victory." Now, are you mourning his victory, or are you happy about it? Let's talk about that, Saints. The leftist, which means communist, Satan's murderous form of government, John 10:10, it stands for what Satan governs and stands for: stealing, killing, and destroying. In the last, I believe it's 100 years, every time, or a total of over 100 million people were murdered as communist dictators, it all starts with socialism, took over their country. You can look that up. It's an historic fact, and that's what they had planned for America. But apparently God said not yet, right? Or if ever. The leftist communists' push to take over the world was dealt a crushing blow with the historic victory of Trump. They are the seed of Satan, as he did with the Tower of Babel, wants to rule using his Nimrod, or Antichrist. Yet that has been put on delay by the Almighty, because he's in charge of all the timing of everything. The same God, that is, who stopped Nimrod and the Antichrist of his day at the Tower of Babel, scattering them, Genesis 11, throughout the earth. Why? Because God is large and he's in charge. No, I do not believe that Trump is the Antichrist. I also don't believe he's the answer to much, although God said he's the answer to whatever God wants to use him for. I mean, are you okay with God using Trump? It seems like there are some professing Christians that are upset that Kamala didn't get elected. I'm dumbfounded. Well, brother, Trump signed this and that. I don't care. Is Trump bigger than God? Is Trump's signature on some nefarious document somewhere in the background bigger than God? I'm sorry. Who's in charge of your life, first of all? If you're trusting him, you should be trusting, as the scripture says, that he's the one who lifts men up and puts them down. Let's check that out. That's going to be a foundational truth we need to rest upon in this message. In the prophet Daniel chapter 2 verse 21, the Bible says, "And he," that's God, "changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings." Notice God has removed the Biden Kamala, if you're going to believe the word of God, regime, and he replaced it with Donald Trump's cabinet and what he wants to use Trump to do. That doesn't mean Trump's saved. He's not saved. I can tell you that. And I'll believe a man saved, him or anybody else, when they start confessing the name of Jesus and testifying how they are washed in his precious blood, born again, etc. So the point here is not Trump is the greatest thing that ever... No, not at all. And anybody that knows me knows I have some problems with some of the things Trump did. But I sure believe, and I don't
apologize to you or anybody else. I'm sure glad he got elected instead of Kamala. Now, how's that going to change my life as far as ministry? It's not. The most important work in the earth and the only eternal work is doing the Great Commission. We should all be in full stride, if you will, praying for, supplying, giving to, and executing the Great Commission. You're going to hear a lot about that on this ministry website, safeguardyoursoul.com. We are to be about the Father's business. But if you ask me, a window of opportunity just got open. Things got extended. We're going to have a little bit more peace in America than we would have had if that wicked witch would have got elected. We'll talk more about that in a minute. So we see that God is in control. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. So that's Daniel 2, 21 and 22. Notice Psalm 75. It's a short psalm. I want to encourage you to read it. You'll see a lot about what's going on today in this brief psalm. Starting in verse 2, he says here, let's start in verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do I give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. That means simply think upon these things. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Beware of tooting your own horn and speaking foolishly, right? Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion, did you not know basically that promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south? In other words, God sets up one and he puts down another, as we just read in Daniel 2:21. Verse 7, Psalm 75, but God is the judge. I'm sorry, can we think about what he just said there? God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Who does that? God does that. So if you're upset by that, just like you would have been upset because Harris was put in, then we have to recalibrate things and look at it from a wider scope. Now, I think that if Harris would have been put in, that would have been a sign of, as we learned from other scripture, that God is turning America over completely, because they've got FEMA camps and they've got your death in mind. All kinds of ways they're trying to kill you. Anybody who's got their eyes open knows that. They even tried to kill the opponent by shooting him in the head. Anybody who still thinks their government, the United States government, has anything but evil planned for them and in mind for them is completely deceived and, quite frankly, delusional. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, verse 8, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Why? Because they're humbling themselves in the sight of the Lord. They're not speaking foolishly out of apostate heart. They're not lifting up their horn and spewing out evil things. And one of them would be to not recognizing that God is in control. These communists are the very seed of Satan. The communistic form of government is the government style and most preferred by Satan himself, where a few rule and he has to only work through those few to decide to murder and destroy and steal the rights from the many. They are the seed of Satan, and as he did with the Tower of Babel, with lifting up Nimrod. Many of you know about that. What is it, 10 and 11 of Genesis? This Antichrist, he was a forerunner of the Antichrist to come. That's how Satan operates. They were going to try to completely take over everything, if you remember, in that story of the Tower of Babel. So that seems to go together, dovetail with this message, where at the Tower of Babel, they were seeking to form a one world order, as we can see that this would be a forerunner microcosmic example of what's coming with the Antichrist. Genesis 11, verse 3, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. Technology, building represented here. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men building. Now, God saw what was happening here in America, which is obviously affects the whole world. And what did he do? Well, this seems like he did the same thing principally with the Trump win as he did here in, and he's unchanging, right? Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Also, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He confused and diverted their plans because he is in control. In fact, the Satanists of the New World Order are on record admitting that they know God's timing is what's going to happen, and that he has thwarted their mission numerous times. And the Lord said, verse 6, Genesis 11, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. In other words, the agreement of the peoples of the earth and the language enabled them to build a new world order, apparently. Go to, let us go down and there confront their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So God is going to go ahead and change their language so they can't all work in sync and bring the world to or under their communistic leadership, their dictatorship that would have been apparently under Nimrod. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So God changed world history here. He's in control. He's large and in charge. Psalm 121, I believe it is, verse 4 said, he never sleeps or slumbers. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, which means confusion, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And that's why we have so many different languages in the world. It's a fixed thing by God who scattered the people, changing their languages so that they couldn't come into agreement, put all their technology together, and therefore and thereby act out of concordance with the timing of God. Now, that's my observation of it. Our point is not to go into great detail on the Tower of Babel, but it seems that it comes into play a little bit here. So Trump's victory seems to reveal that Satan's plan to take over the world is not yet, and that's going to come to pass in the future, we know. Many of us thought, here we are at the doorstep. Well, we are still at the doorstep. Perhaps there's a little bit of a setback, not in God's mind, he's in control, but adjusting our thinking. And it's going to come soon, but apparently it would have come real soon if the communists would have taken over the country of America. So does Satan desire to take over the world and rule in the place of God? Yes. Anybody who knows and has studied Satan or Lucifer, the same person in the Bible, knows that he is incessantly seeking to lift himself to the same level as the Most High. Most famously, we see that in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, verse 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the scripture says here. Again, this is Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? So he states the fact that Satan has been kicked out of heaven somewhere in eternity past, and now he is dwelling on the earth O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Do you think it would have weakened the nation of the United States of America if Satan's communists would have got in office? Absolutely. And also Jesus said, Luke 10:18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now let me throw this in there. There is a heresy going around. Some of the stuff people believe, if it's you, I will tell you to your face, you're a lunatic. Notice Isaiah 14:12. I mean, this is so easily dispelled. They're being told, and they bought the package, that Lucifer and Satan are not the same person. I'm sorry, and yes, I'm mocking you, because that's stupidity. You kidding me? All you got to do is look at two verses together. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? I'm sorry, who fell from heaven? Well, let's go ahead and read it in Luke 10:18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So Satan and Lucifer are the same wicked being. Both names refer to the same fraud who was kicked out of heaven. In fact, we see several. In fact, the most populated different names, most place of numerous names of Satan in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 12, beginning of verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, we get a little bit more insight here, fought against the dragon and his angels. That's the one-third of the angels who were ejected from heaven for conspiring with Satan, Lucifer, and prevailed not, neither was there any place found anymore in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then he's called the accuser of the brethren. And then we learn that we overcome by the blood of a lamb and by the word of our testimony. But it should be easy to put two and two together, interpreting scripture with scripture, and know that the one who was cast out of heaven is Lucifer slash Satan, the same being. I thought I might just hit on that a little bit, because this is just one of many heresies that's circulating and being bought into by gullible dupes. All right, Isaiah 14:13 now, it says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, the angels of God, I believe that means. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So five eyes, what we call the five eyes of Satan in this passage. Isaiah 14:12-15. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I'll rule over the people in the sides of the north. I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So that's his whole goal. It always has been since iniquity was found in him. That would be in Ezekiel 28:12-19. We won't go there. But yes, to answer the question, Satan desires to rule the world. That's going to be a major component of biblical truth you're going to have to understand. And that's what he was trying to do by putting the witch, Kamala Harris. A woman doesn't need to be president, by the way. That's not God's call on the role of the woman. The whole thing is a Jezebel stunt, and all you godly women know that. So Satan's, we see from scripture, we see it directly stated and conveyed and communicated, that Satan wants to rule the world. And that's why God's in control, and he chose to stop the ruling of the world through Nimrod by Satan. And I'm sure he had his communist posse there. And perhaps that's the first place we see communism. I don't know. You can dig into that, but principally. And that's what happened in my estimation. And some of this is just my opinion, trying to square it all up with scripture. You don't have to agree. And I know I get a little bit straight about this stuff, but perhaps there's a warranted reason. Let's keep looking into this as we go into this and finish this message. So pray, go to work, obey Christ, and spread the word. That's what it means, and that's how we answer the question of this message. What about Trump's win? What does that mean to us? Well, we should have already been in full stride of obeying the Great Commission of Christ. That's the remnant of Christ, those who are obeying the Great Commission. Go and teach all men all the things I've taught you. End of Matthew. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. End of Mark. Because there's coming a time when we won't be able to do it as we can do it now. I think, this is just my personal reflection and observation, it seems God has said, we're going to go ahead and keep America free for now, and we're going to give the body of Christ an open window, more time to do what I call them to do, because I'm not willing, saith the Lord, that any should perish. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Is that a prophetic word? Yeah, right out of the more sure word of prophecy of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, verse 9. God is not willing that any should perish, and that's why he's been long-suffering, it says in that verse. We'll read it in a minute. Notice John 9, 4 and 5, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, or the light. That is, not the night. He's using day here as speaking of the window of time he has to do the will of God. I must work the works of him that sent me. That would be his Father, as he said throughout John. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 9, 4 and 5. And you and I, if we truly follow Christ, we must, as long as we are in this world, shine the light of Christ. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Now, the scripture tells us the stated will of God is that, quote, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Most Christians don't understand and know about the scripture, and it can cause you to err. You do err, right? Not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Where's that found? That's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. We do err. We go into error. Err is the root word for error. When we don't know the scriptures or the power of God, the Bible tells us that we're to pray for our leaders that we may have lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. He didn't say those leaders were going to all be God-fearing, born-again, spirit-filled Christians. Most of them aren't. But he said to pray for them. And here's why, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Now, do you think that if the Communist Democrat Party got back into office for another 4 years, that there was going to be quiet and peaceable living in the United States? If you believe that, I got some land off the shore of Florida, as the saying goes, that I want to sell you. Delusional. God's work is the Great Commission, and it's at the top of his priorities. And that's why it works best, or that's why it told us to pray so that we can have times of peace. Peace time, right? Quiet, peaceable life is what he wants us to live. And that's not possible under a communistic regime. First thing they do is go hunt down all the dissidents, the people that don't agree with them. They take away freedom of speech, which has already been happening. They take away your right to defense and to own a weapon. You can go look at all the pictures and study it for yourself. Many of you know a whole lot more than this than I do. But historically, every time they take away free speech, that's the First Amendment we have. And our forefathers put it in place for a reason. And the second is what? The Second Amendment. The right to bear arms and have a militia. That's the second thing to do. You can look at pictures. If you want to email me, I'll send you a bunch of pictures I found over the years where it shows all of the weapons of the individual people stacked up way up like a mountain when the communist regimes came into place and they took them away and then they went and got all those people, rounded them up and killed them. Don't you know there are FEMA camps all over the nation? What do you think those are there for, saints? That's what I thought. To round you up and to throw you in there and do whatever. A lot of people, if that ever happens, are going to die. That would have went into high gear with the wicked Kamala being put in office. I mean, there's just at least a million reasons why it's better that Trump's in office. We'll get into that specifically here in a minute. The first place we may wish to look, by the way, is the root sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. What were they? Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness, and then complete destruction. And this seems to be a parallel passage there in Ezekiel 16, 49 through 51 with what Jesus said to the Laodiceans in Revelation 3, 14 through 22. And I know most of you listening know of the apostasy of the modern church, but don't ever underestimate the mercy of God. He even gave Jezebel the space to repent. Did you ever catch that? Revelation 2, 20 through 24. So obviously God is calling and allowing more time for the lukewarm to repent. By the way, if you're not busy about the Father's business, doing engaged in the Great Commission, in prayer, in giving, and in action of building up the saints, feeding the sheep, and winning the lost, you're backslidden, my friend. That's a big alarm right there if you got any conviction to repent and go on a fast and get your life right. Because when it is, when your life's right, you're going to be all about not your business. Oh no, you're going to be about the Father's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, Luke 2:49. So anybody following Jesus is about his business, isn't the Father's. What is that business? It's the most important work in the earth, the only work with eternal consequences. And what would that be? Well, it would be winning the lost and feeding and equipping the saints, nourishing the body of Christ is the simplest way, and it's definitely not hard, it's simple, to articulate or define the Great Commission. Are you, my friend, about the Father's business? God's people have the mandate and personal responsibility to do His work, no matter whom He allows to hold some temporary civil office, Trump or otherwise. Luke 12:48, for unto whomsoever much is given. We've been given more material and financial blessings than any country in the history of the world. For whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. This is Luke 12:48. We've got a lot to give account for. Throughout his story, history is two words, his story, God has used wicked rulers, wicked men who were rulers, much more wicked, by the way, than Donald Trump. I won't even go into detail. If we truly trust God, why is it that we question his allowing Trump to be POTUS, or President of the United States again? Trump is not the answer. God is. And is God not in control? Let me help you. Yes. Psalm 75, we read it earlier, verse 7. But God is the judge, not you or me. He putteth down one and lifteth up another. He's in control of that. You got a problem with that, you got a problem with God. Before the election, some swore that God is in control, and yet they desired Kamala in their wicked hearts, all because they hate Trump. I don't know what it is about this seething hatred for Trump. I don't understand. Do I think he's saved? No. Do I think there could be some nefarious stuff coming through him? Yes. But it would have been full-blown A to Z, nefarious, pure satanic evil through the alternative. That's for sure. Now, one sister, our dear sister Karen Cochran, weighed in on some of these items we're talking about today. She said, some professing Christians do not like that Trump won. I am seeing such craziness, she says, among Christians. Some saying, whoever voted for Trump voted for the Antichrist. Please. So they're calling Trump the Antichrist. I'm not saying it's impossible, but personally, I highly doubt it. Others, she says, saying Trump is going to cut off our heads. I highly doubt that. She says, unbelievable. She continues, isn't God in complete control? She asks. What about Harris? What about Kamala Harris? She admitted that if mothers decide they don't want their babies when they are being born, they will abort them. They'll have the right to abort them, murder them all the way up until birth and probably even after. And someone, she continues, they think Trump being elected is bad. I read some of your posts and I agree. She was agreeing with some of the stuff I said on this matter. Is God giving people time to repent? Time for more people to be saved? She asked. Completely yes. Is it better to have President Trump or Kamala, who would legislate murdering children all the way up till their birth? And then Sister Karen points out how Kamala Harris told those two Christian young men who went to one of her so-called rallies, and they yelled out, very kindly, but loud enough for everybody to hear, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Kamala commenced to tell them that they were in the wrong place. And so, anyway, it's obvious in a million ways that no Christian would ever vote for a Democrat. And there she is, being an Antichrist, out in the open. So, Sister Karen is basically comparing having Trump for president versus Kamala. If Trump allowed, she says, the name of Jesus to be spoken. Now, that's the truth. That doesn't mean Trump saved, but he definitely does not squelch free speech. God is sovereign, she says, and in complete control. We either believe that or we don't. And he, that is Trump, can now free the J6ers who have been morally and physically broken by these communists. And that's a fact. Over the last 3 or 4 years, they did nothing wrong. The ones that did any wrong, they were misdemeanors that probably should have been a slap on the hands, because most of these guys have no criminal record anyway. She continues, Sister Karen, they are not even being allowed a trial. And is the Lord giving people time to repent? Yes. And giving us time to reach the lost? Yes. Some have continually called Trump the Antichrist. That is exactly it. They don't see God for who he truly is and don't believe he, God, is in complete control. No one knows who the Antichrist is. And if Kamala Harris had gotten it, had been elected president by the people, we should for sure have faced persecution. Let me interrupt Sister Karen's words here by saying, I don't believe personally that every president is selected. I don't believe that. I don't think Trump would have been selected. He was the absolute nemesis of the one they wanted to select. That's my idea. I know other people have other scenarios about it, and I don't care to try to be an expert at that, but it seems to me like that every evildoer in the world, every satanic pedophile, blood-drinking, wicked Satanist wanted Trump knocked out, and they're probably the ones, you can be assured, behind the attempted assassin. Somehow he was saved out of them. I believe it was God, and I think you may agree here in a minute when we read a thumbnail sketch history of how God has used wicked men throughout his story for thousands of years. And Sister Karen finishes, and even that would be a blessing, because we sure would be seeking the Lord more if under affliction. So if Harris would have got in. So either way, it is God's choice. He made the choice. He's in control. It seems it's fear, thinking Trump is the Antichrist. She thinks those people are in fear. It's like looking for Satan behind every bush. It's lack of faith. Exactly what I heard. Quote, Trump is now your idol. I guess she was told that because she rather, like myself and most others, with a sane mind, a fair-minded, my estimation, perspective of the world and life through scripture. Anyway, so I guess they would say, Trump's now my idol. I've never been to a Trump rally, never had a MAGA shirt. I'm not saying you're in sin if you do, but that's definitely not my religion. It's not Brother Tom and Sister Karen's, by the way, since I'm quoting them. So she said they were wrong to say she now has Trump as an idol. I would be looking to Jesus, whether it was Trump or Harris. She says, he is still the Lord of my heart. Read Daniel 2:21. God appoints and chooses the kings and leaders. God is ultimately in control over all the affairs of the world. Nothing happens outside of God's ordained purpose. So get your focus off the world and put it back on God. Unquote. I have to agree with those observations. Those who are upset that Trump is POTUS again seem to be blinded, in my estimation, by their own sin of hatred. Are they still in darkness? It seems like it. John 3:19-29. If they truly trust God, why can't they accept that God, as we already read in Scripture, has put Trump back in office for his purposes and whatever those purposes are? Yes, it sounds like some of these Christians need to repent. It seems like utter stupidity that all of a sudden anybody who voted for Trump is voted for the Antichrist or is an idolater of Trump. Please. There is a peace in my spirit personally, is one of the things I wrote to a friend today. It seems darkened those who are mad, Christians, quote unquote, that are mad that Trump has been elected. seems that they're very darkened in their heart. They can't perceive how God could use such a wicked man. Well, God uses me, and like Paul, I'm less than the least of all sinners or saints. Book of Ephesians. If God can use me, he can use anyone. If God can save you or me, he can save and use anyone. Paul was a very wicked man before Jesus saved him. And probably no one under the New Testament era has ever been, I believe 100% of Bible students would agree, that Paul was used more than any man ever for the last 2,000 years, and that probably won't change. So some of these people don't seem to understand that God has done the same thing throughout history. Apparently, they don't trust God as they claim, and if they did, they'd accept his will. He said he puts people in places of authority, and he puts down others. He's the judge, right? Evil is coming, no doubt. No matter who the president is, God foretold it, and those scriptures and prophetic utterances are still to come to pass in the future. Perhaps it will be delayed due to the Lord not willing that any should perish. Any means any. Read 2 Peter 3. It's all about the last days. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. We need that right now in this very topic we're talking about. God is still going to allow the end times to unfold as he's spoken in his word, all of the details of it, and it's going to be some very difficult times, Matthew 24, such as have never been seen or experienced on the face of the earth. It's going to be horrible. Yet we read here that the Lord is not slack concerning his prophetic promises, as I just pointed out, of the last days that are still to come, as some men count slackness. Here it is. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God just told us exactly why he hasn't sent the Lord Jesus Christ back yet, because he wants people to repent. There's still a window. And now we can live a little bit more quiet and peaceable lives than it would have been the case with Kamala Harris. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read a little bit of that in a minute. Do we care, by the way, about anybody else but ourselves? Do we not want to see those people saved that Jesus says he has patience, long-suffering for, so that they won't perish, but they'll repent? Do we care about anybody else but ourselves? That's a rhetorical question. Sounds like we are lacking real repentance in the crucified life. Otherwise, we'd be caring about God and his will and other people at the foremost before ourselves. What about those souls Jesus wants to use us to reach so they can repent and not perish? Again, 2 Peter 3:9. Who do you believe is in control? Where is your faith? That's what Jesus asks, I believe, his own. Where is your faith? Luke 8:25. If we are truly trusting God, why can't we accept that he, God, did allow and is allowing Trump to be the POTUS again? And if he has such evil plans ahead, that would be Trump. Is he bigger than the Almighty? No, not at all. Again, Psalm 75:7. But God is the judge, not us. He put it down one and setteth up another. If we truly trust God, why can't we accept this? Some people seem to have more hatred for Trump than they have love and trust for God. They foolishly surmise that anyone who is glad Trump was reelected has their trust in Trump. That's foolish. Some people do, that's for sure. They're not saved. That's not the case, though, for true believers. Hatred blinds us. Hatred is sin and damns the soul. Hatred is murder in the eyes of a holy God. 1 John 3:14 and 15. And anybody who's got hatred in their heart for anybody is a lost soul. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And also, no murderer, no murderer. And if you hate, you're a murderer. No murderer hath eternal life. 1 John 3:14 and 15. Yea, first thing that comes to mind is, do we realize how many hundreds of people were sworn, by the way, to be the Antichrist? I mean, just look over the last 20 or 30 years. How many people that did we hear, oh, that's the Antichrist? Man, we need to shut up, seems like to me. That doesn't mean God isn't going to allow Trump to be allowed to bring about end times prophecy in good and bad ways. But I highly doubt personally that he's the Antichrist. Now, should not the remnant of Christ see this for what it is? God ordained Trump to be the president again. This gives us a fresh opportunity to preach Christ's gospel in a land of at least some semblance of peace. Some prayed for this, which is stated will of God. Notice, it's the stated will of God. We're going to read it right here in 1 Timothy 2, 1-8. I exhort, therefore, he says, Paul writes, that first of all, this is by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he exhorts that first of all, supplications, that means humble requests, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, that means rulers, presidents, etc., and for all that are in authority, here's why, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, so that we can live in a place of law and order. Our country has become absolute chaos since the communist Satan's children, for sure. Now, that doesn't mean Trump is a child of God, but I mean, he's a sworn Satanist. All of these Democrats are. The country has become absolutely destroyed. The borders are open. People are doing anything they want to anybody, especially in certain cities and states, at any time. Every man's doing what's right in his own eyes, right? Judges 17:6. So he tells us that we're to pray for those in leadership. But brother, they're not saved. He didn't say they had to be saved. Get over yourself. Why did he say to pray for these rulers, kings, rulers, presidents that are in authority, civil authority? Here it is. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. There you go right there. That's all you need to know that any true Christian that voted for Donald Trump. These things are acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. What is? Leading a quiet and peaceable life. Having a quiet, peaceable, orderly, safe society. Verse 4, who will have all men, that's God, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity or truth. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We got another message coming out called Why Did Some and insist on making America great? Not all, but some. And I believe that's so they can go back living their Laodicean hellbound lifestyle, which is all about them and not Christ and his work, his great commission. Now he's saying here in 1 Timothy 2, the will of God is that men, especially men, gentlemen, pray everywhere. Isn't it a blessing when we see men praying in restaurants or wherever out in public, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So we should get our witness cranked up, saints, and pray every day that God would use us to speak his truth and to minister his love and truth to others every day. Amen. Are you waking up praying that for yourself, and perhaps you're praying, and I hope you are, for other believers around you in the body of Christ? So let me ask this too. Are you upset that the innocent, precious babies that are yet to be born now have more of a chance to live under Trump? Is that what upsets you? Do you find anything to be thankful for to God today? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. So we are to give thanks for all things. That would include that Trump's now the president of the United States. We're to give thanks unto God. Doesn't matter if you understand it or not. Your puny understanding does not determine truth or the mind of Christ revealed in the Bible. Personally, as I said earlier, I will not apologize to anyone for not hating Trump and for being glad that he's in office instead of the other alternative. I'm actually glad he was allowed to win, that God put him in office, and any nefarious documents that he secretly signed or whatever are not bigger than God. Notice Jeremiah 29:7, speaking of praying for our locale, our leaders, our country, our city. He says, Jeremiah 29:7, and seek the peace of the city. This is the state of God, that we have peaceful cities. We just read that in 1 Timothy 2. Whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, no matter where you live. Everybody listening to this podcast, by the way, this podcast is now received well over 500,000 downloads. What a blessing. And people listen from all over the world. So wherever you find yourself, you are to seek the peace of that place. Seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. You're to pray for the locale. Your prayers will be history-altering. God will hear them. If you're a child of God, you pray in the name of Jesus, and God's going to answer. And pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. What a scripture that is. Again, Jeremiah 29:7. Some would say, but brother, how can you say that God would use such a sinner like Trump? Well, as I promised earlier, we're going to look at that right now here. Has God not done the same thing, use wicked men throughout history? And does he, who is the Almighty, need your or my puny permission to do so? No. See, Trump first escaped the bullet assassination several times. In fact, the first time he was in office, it was reported that this is in the first 2 years of his first term, that there had been over 20 assassination attempts. We don't hear about them all, and I believe that's probably true. But anyway, we know that there's at least two or three that were made on him recently, and God saved him out of it. Why? Obviously, God has a plan. It was an absolute miracle. So a biblical fact would be that God hears, answers, and uses the prayers of his people to do his, God's, bidding and anoints and sends men to destroy evil, godless regimes, like God destroyed and scattered the satanic communists at Babel. The Lord will do as he's fit, not as you or I see fit. In case it weren't obvious enough, God doesn't need our puny, no-count permission. Read of Jehu's anointing to do just that in 2 Kings 9, when he was anointed by God to destroy the kingdom regime, that is, of Ahab and Jezebel. What a blessing. Also, Nebuchadnezzar, heathen king of Babylon, was anointed by God to destroy many nations and was called by the Lord his hammer in Jeremiah 50:23. So does God use wicked men in leadership? Absolutely. So God used Trump? Yes, he can, and yes, he will. Cyrus was a pagan, a ruler in Persia, and was called by God his battle axe, Jeremiah 51:20. The Bible also says of Cyrus, quote, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, Cyrus, a lost man, a king, God calls him his anointed. Why? Because God had appointed him to do things for God. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. That's Isaiah 45:1. These biblical facts are Xerxes is another wicked ruler that God used. And these biblical facts make it clear that God, who owns all and made all, uses evil men at times to do his bidding, his work. The kings and civil rulers were not children of God, and the Lord used them. The ones we just mentioned. Perhaps there's more in the Bible. This is biblical history. If his divine plan, that's God's, is to use Trump any way he pleases, including to destroy an evil regime, a syndicate and system of evil, that's up to him, not us. Amen. Instead of seeing the hand of God, all some can see is how evil Trump is, as they say, and maybe there's some truth to that. But maybe their perspective is because their hate for Trump is greater than their love for God. So they are blinded from seeing what God may be doing. Are we truly about the Father's business, saints? If not, it's because we are all about our own business, doing our own bidding as hell-bound self-idolaters. Some can't see what God is doing due to being blinded by their hatred for one person, a piece of dust, Psalm 103. We're all like a piece of dust. So I would ask, are you happy that the unjustly incarcerated J6ers are going to be freed on day one? Are you happy or unhappy about that? How about Sister Bevelin? I believe it's Bevelin Williams, a Christian sister, a wife and mother of, I believe, three children, who's now incarcerated for no crime at all. The J6ers, most of them have never had a trial. This is totally against the law, totally ungodly. And are you upset, my friend, that Trump's in now and now those people are going to be set free. I can tell you what, it seems to me that if for no other reason that God put Trump in office, those J6ers are rejoicing because they know on, what is it, January whatever, when Trump takes office, he actually is now the president-elect. When he takes office, if the Lord tarries, he is going the first second of office. He is going to sign a release for every one of those J6ers, for Sister Bevelyn Williams, I believe it is. Many of you have been praying for this precious sister. Again, she's a wife and mother of three beautiful children. Tina Peterson, Gold Star mom, absolute blessing, out of Colorado, unjustly incarcerated now for doing her job and doing that which is right. Unbelievable. Is anybody happy? You need to get saved if this doesn't make you happy, man. You got to be kidding me. What's wrong with you? But no, all you can see is that Trump's evil. Get over yourself, man. Maybe you're the most evil person, the one you look at in the mirror, that you need to be dealing with. You're upset that these people, these innocent people, are going to be freed? Man, we've been dropping them books and Bibles for the last 2 years, at least. Some of you people, beloved sisters in Christ, have been getting the addresses to some of these unwarrantedly, unduly incarcerated people. Now, we send books nearly going out every day all over the nation to people that are incarcerated, whether they're J6ers or unjustly or justly incarcerated. But the Bible says, if you punish the righteous, it's an abomination that brings a curse upon our land. Proverbs 17:15. What if that were, that is the J6ers, or Sister Bevelyn, or Tina Peterson, what if that was your family that was criminally jailed, or jailed by criminals unjustly? Would you have wanted Trump to win? Oh, how self-serving we are, right? When we truly repent, we are going to thank God for all things and in all things, and trust the simple truth that He is large and in charge, not little old you or me. Stacy Strother on this matter of Trump being elected again says, let's go. It is possible that an effectual door has opened to us again in such a small 4-year window of opportunity with the next 4 years. However, whether we would be under strong and strict communism with Kamala Harris and her administration, or if Trump should flip and himself become a communist dictator, we shall stand and still march forward as Christians to win the lost for God's glory, whatever that means in persecution that would come at me or not. In Jesus' name, Brother Stacy Strother. He's a really good brother. I encourage you to add him on social media, just like it sounds. Stacy Strother, the other dear sister, her and her husband, Tom Cochran, Karen Cochran, add them. They're constantly putting out amazing truth from the Bible. So, our commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ, right? Right. And to whom every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess, according to Philippians chapter 2. As we come in for a close here, we should remember that the office of the President of the United States is a civil leadership position. It's not a position in the body of Christ. Trump is definitely not saved yet, and he may never be in the future. But remember how God humbled Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4. Oh man, that guy put out one of the greatest messages in the Bible. It was absolutely amazing. I believe that's the end of Daniel 4. Go read it. So this king, if you'll look into the history, was way worse than you think Trump is. Let me tell you that. But God humbled him. And God used him for his glory. And that man spoke out a message that's absolutely amazing as he exclaimed the glory of the one true God. In fact, the very last word of his message at the end of Daniel 4 says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase or humble. Let me read it again. The last words of Daniel 4. And those that walk in pride, he, that's God, it's the King of heaven, right? is able to abase or humble. Do we think God can humble Trump? I can tell you what, as others have shared with me their observation, Trump's a whole lot more humble now that he almost had his life taken from him. And he's also, as some have pointed out, much more readily lifting up others. He's not self-centered as he was. By the way, that goes for everybody that is not saved. Even when we're young Christians, we're self-centered till we begin to learn the mind of Christ and the crucified life, where we're called to magnify God and extol and lift up and edify others above ourselves. That's the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:3-5. So perhaps it's time for us to repent afresh, to pray without ceasing, to lay down our lives in this fleeting world, whether we understand everything or not, to take up the cross, to follow Jesus for real, daily, and to preach his gospel, to do his great commission, for which we shall all come into judgment for. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we, plural, the body of Christ, each member, are what? Laborers together. There's the plural word again, with God. Amen. Let's roll, saints. Remember, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. Let's pray together, saints. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to grant our request of forgiveness for our sins and for blowing our horn and shooting off our mouth in unwise ways, manners, and weighing in on things we have little or no understanding about. In the name of Jesus, please wash us afresh. Forgive our sins of self-idolatry, spiritual adultery, conceit, deceit, pride, arrogance. Wash us clean, Father, we ask in the blood of a lamb, and refresh us, fill us with your spirit, your wisdom, God. Multiply your grace and wisdom, and unite our hearts to fear thy name as we do your great commission work, Lord. Hand on the plow, not looking left or right or backwards, but looking for you, Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and for your soon return. We love you, Jesus. We pray all these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.